You're not ready to retire. Is there gas left in the tank?
You've got options.
You're listening to the CloseTheDeal.com podcast. Here's your host, Yul Smith.
Shelby, I want to welcome you to the CloseTheDeal.com podcast. Your last name is Mounts, Shelby Mounts, and you are the executive director of NextOp. Welcome to the show. I just want to let our listeners know who you are right off the bat. Normally, we're interviewing entrepreneurs, but a lot of entrepreneurs need to hire veterans and give veterans opportunities. And that's what you all do, is you all give veterans opportunities. And we'll dive into that a little bit. So welcome to the show. Where are you? You're vacationing right now, I believe, in Myrtle Beach. Is that right?
That's right. You know, thanks for having me. Just taking a little time in the sun here, watching my oldest boy play some college baseball.
Nice. And your NextOp is based where? In Virginia?
No, sir. Our headquarters is actually in Houston.
Okay. Now you work, but okay, you're based in Alexandria. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah. Okay. Stayed there after I retired from the Navy.
Gotcha. Okay. This is one of my favorite questions I ever ask people. And I love to ask, who or what are you grateful for that helped you get you where you are today?
Probably take more time than we have on the show today to list them all out. But I think some key influencers for me would be my grandfathers who were enlisted Navy from World War II to Vietnam time frame. Matter of fact, my dad's father, my grandfather, retired as the tower chief at Bell Chase at NES New Orleans there. So growing up, hearing their stories and being around aviation and just thinking about what a neat lifestyle and how grateful they were for their experiences inspired me to join. So certainly have to give them huge credit for going into the service and then for the many mentors and sailors that I worked with over the years that helped me stay safe, accomplish the mission, grow, and just really benefit from serving around such great people.
And I should have said this up front. I'm very grateful for your service. My dad was in the Navy as well. What was your tour? What was your main career path in the Navy?
Sure. It was a little mixed up, like everything, the way things worked out. Never really had a great plan, just took advantage of the opportunities as they came. I graduated from Annapolis in summer of 1992, been a year up in Newport, Rhode Island training, and then checked aboard a Knox frigate down in Mobile, Alabama, back in 1993. And we were at the downsizing period post-Cold War. Mm-hmm. The Reagan 600 ship Navy was beginning to shrink and the peace dividend was being recognized. And so that base was really only open for a hot minute and they announced that the ship was decommissioning. So we moved over to NAS Pensacola, decommissioned the ship and trained an Egyptian crew, actually. And they took the ship over to Egypt. So then I moved up to Norfolk, Virginia and was an engineer on a helicopter assault ship with the Marine Corps and deployed to the Mediterranean and was probably pretty well decided to get out of the Navy at that point, was about to make lieutenant. And my commanding officer was a helicopter pilot and he suggested that I'd make a good aviator. I put in a transfer package and the opportunity to go fly helicopters in the Navy for 20 years. I lived all over the country and the world and really enjoyed flying those helicopters and the nature, the adventure and the sense of accomplishment and mission that came with all of that. I did a joint tour at Special Operations Command down in Tampa and went to Afghanistan with the Army Special Forces, commanded a helicopter squadron in Norfolk, Virginia, did two tours at the Pentagon on Navy staff, and got 1 year in New Orleans at Shell Oil as a Secretary of Defense fellow, working and studying Shell and how they operated to bring those lessons to the Navy.
That's awesome. What a ride.
That's a great ride, great education, met great people, retired as a captain in 2017. And then I went into private industry.
Now, how long have you been with NextOp? And what was the, did you go straight from private industry to NextOp or was there a bridge there?
So I had about 3.5 years in my first job after the Navy as a business development director in aerospace and maritime defense for specialty metals. So producing a lot of the base materials that go into rotating components for helicopters, jet engines, airframes, nuclear reactors, hypersonic missiles, things like that. And enjoyed the work, learned a lot about business, and then went to be chief commercial officer for a startup out of Colorado and helped grow that company and the technology into two different industries globally. And then took a little career pause and heard about NextOp through the Naval Academy Alumni Magazine, actually. Mm-hmm. The previous executive director had gone to Shell when I was there. And we spent some time doing veteran recruitment and success within Shell to help them with their veteran recruitment and retention programs. And so when I saw her name in that article, it really struck me that Next Stop was providing a very valuable service. Career transition is hard for anybody, but for the enlisted community, very often they don't have very much time before they get out. Most of them are not retiring, so they lose all their benefits and paychecks immediately. Mm-hmm. And if they don't have a network and a resource, can tend to be either underemployed or unemployed. And that leads to additional challenges and increases in homelessness and veteran suicide and relationship challenges, financial challenges, et cetera. So I thought it was a noble mission. I reached out to Stephanie and she reinforced, indeed, they're doing really good work with the enlisted community. Mm-hmm. And then she said, I think it's time for someone else to come in and take over and grow the organization. So I threw my name in the hat and after a couple interviews, joined in October of 2022. So I've been on board about a year and a half.
Awesome. So congratulations, because the mission is critical that you do. How would you describe the mission? What is the core services that how do you all help, I should say?
Yeah, I guess the top dead tagline for us is connecting enlisted veterans to industry careers. And we want to be that bridge. And we do that through historically career services in a case management kind of a style. Mm-hmm. So if someone finds out about Next Stop, they can hear about us through a friend or see some social media marketing or meet one of our employment coordinators at an on or off base recruiting event. They just might somehow hear about us and they go register at our website, nextstopvets.org. And it's pretty simple there. I want a job, I want to hire a veteran, or I want to donate to the cause. Mm-hmm. And so they register and that creates an account inside of our Salesforce CRM. And then one of our employment coordinators is assigned to make an introductory call with them within 72 hours. And so once that call happens, it's about just betting that they're a post 9/11 enlisted veteran and mm-hmm. that they're qualified for our service. Then we begin to work with them to help them figure out their why, their what, and their where. And once you get ready for job employment, then placing them against opportunities with employers that we're partnered with, mm-hmm. or in many cases, we teach them how to fit, what it means and what they want to go look for and make sure that their resumes are refined, their interview skills are up to speed, and then they go find their own jobs. But in the end, the mission is that they find good employment and that they have career opportunities.
There are certain industries that you all find yourself sending more people to, that because the skill set, I work with veterans on the franchise side, helping people get into business. And I find they're really adept at that just because the systems and processes and the nature of the training. Or there's certain sectors of industries that you steer people to, businesses that you all work with?
Yeah, that's a good question. And historically, back in 2014 and 15, when the organization was first founded in Houston, it was really focused on oil and gas because there was a big need. And the population coming back from the wars was a good fit. They brought safety mindset, good work culture, ability to operate in teams, sometimes in very regulated or austere environments. And so they were viewed as good employees. But the oil and gas community can be a challenge to get into, particularly if you don't understand how to do it. And so that's where it first started. But it expanded pretty rapidly in the greater Houston area into construction and logistics as well. Mm-hmm. And then in late 2017, Ben Armstrong, who's my strategic partnership and outreach director now on my leadership team, mm-hmm. was hired as the Louisiana expansion manager. And he was basically given a blank slate. Go open up the state of Louisiana. We know that there's veterans and opportunity there. And so took the oil and gas, logistics, and construction industry mindset in his approach, but then started to adapt into additional industries. One key one in particular is a partnership that we have with Ochsner Health there in Louisiana. Yeah. And we got a federally funded grant through the Department of Labor and the Delta Regional Authority to place 300 veterans in Ochsner over the course of 3 years. And I'm happy to say that they hired their veteran recruiter last summer working with us and had 380 plus veterans in the first roughly 9 months.
Just
so it's been a great, just for Osher. So that's been a big success story. Not all those came from NextUp, but we helped them stand up that program and guide and work with them. And we continue to do that today. And we're looking to continue to place more veterans in Ochsner and then use that healthcare experience to take it to other parts of the country as well. So we've seen success with that model of focusing in on certain industries, proving them out, and then using federally funded or other grant money to introduce new opportunities. So we have 3 expansion geographies this year in North Texas, West Tennessee, and North Alabama. And our North Alabama expansion includes a hook into cybersecurity. Okay. We've seen a lot of IT placements, which is not really an industry. It's more of a skill set everybody's got. But the cyber piece, we haven't traditionally focused strongly on. And so in a partnership with the National Cyber Alliance, which is an FBI public-private partnership, we are rolling that out and geographically in Huntsville, but it's a national effort that will grow. With all that, we see lots of other one-offs in different industries. So this year in 2024, we really have focused more on what are the 9 or 10 key industries we need to create depth and pathways and partnerships, and then develop those employer relationships and ecosystem partners for success. And I think that kind of leads us towards the discussion about aerospace and defense and the submarine industrial base, which is something I've really personally brought a focus on because of my background, because I think that it's important for our service members to get an opportunity to come back and continue to serve in key employment opportunities in defense.
There are over 4,000 franchises in the United States, and trying to figure out which one might be the right one for you can be a little bit confusing at times. To address that, to help out with that, I've got a brand new book coming out in just a few weeks called Your First Franchise Roadmap. And I'll walk you through the steps. We'll peel back the confusion and we'll provide you with clarity. So if you'd like to get a free copy of that, check out yourfirstfranchise.com/roadmap. yourfirstfranchise.com/roadmap. Sign up and I'll send you a free copy when we come out with the book. Now, let's get back to the show. So how do you, so they come to, the process is really that simple. They come to the website, they start there, and then you all vet the resume or vet their input, and then you start, do you all set up the interviews for them, or how does that, or what's the process once they're accepted into your program?
Yeah. So again, going from, hey, I want a job to these are the opportunities based upon your skill sets, your education, your personal desires, your interests that match up for you, and walking them through that process, which takes some time, on average about 8 hours per candidate that we spend with them, and refining their resume and getting their interviews. And if we have a job to match to them, we've done some customization to Salesforce, which helps match all the input we gather from the employee, as well as details from the jobs and the employers, to create some match opportunities to take some of that load off our employment coordinators. And we continue to invest in that because I think that creates opportunity for scale in as we grow. But once you get a job that looks like it might be a match, it's automatically sent to the candidate for interest. Okay. If they say, yeah, I'm interested in that job, they come back to their employment coordinator and they refine the resume and make an introduction to the hiring manager, the recruiter, the talent acquisition lead, whoever that individual company has. And then it's off for their own process at that point.
Okay. So, all right. And then you all focused on these specific regions. Is this something that you all will stick around the South, or is this something you're going to go across the country with it ultimately, or is this... what's the vision there? I'm curious.
I think it just directionally from Houston into Louisiana from 2015 when we operational till now, it just created a high density of employers and candidates along the Gulf Coast. When I came in, I saw that this model works. There's a great need for this model. The scale of our model is very small though. 604 was our previous record number of placements in a single year. And last year, 2023, we placed 669. Our stretch goal was 600, but we exceeded that. And so this year we have a stretch goal of 800, and we're beginning to ratchet those numbers up as we develop the financial stability to do that and grow the team in an intelligent way. But we would like to, one, create more optionality for our candidates, because we get recruits from all over the country and indeed the world. We have candidates from overseas that come to us as well. And I think part of the reason we've historically candidates only along the Gulf Coast is that's where the employers work. There are a lot of mom and pops and one-offs with some very big exceptions like Chevron. But as we grow our national level employer base, then we can create more optionality for people to live in different geographies. And that'll naturally increase the number of candidates that we directly. So with those 9 or 10 key industries we're focused in on and identifying who are the key partners on the backside that have different locations all over the country, we're naturally going to expand the locations that our candidates can be placed. It doesn't mean that we'll have physical presence all over the country. Right. But like I mentioned before, we are expanding into those key new geographies this year for different reasons. Each one of them has a different reason, but there's a connectivity still from the Gulf Coast to the next chain of cities that will be physically.
Okay. Now, what about the Blue Forge partnership? Tell us a little bit about that, that y'all are working on.
So it's really fascinating. I don't know if you've seen any literature on this, but the U.S. Navy submarine industrial base needs, up until a couple of weeks ago, they were saying 100,000, but now I'm hearing 150,000 new workers over the next decade in the entire submarine industrial base. There's about 16,000 companies that provide some form of component that ultimately ends up in or supporting submarine construction and operations. And so to build the new ballistic missile Columbia class submarine, sustain two Virginia class tech boat submarines, and then now implement AUKUS, which is a new agreement between the UK, Australia, and the United States to exchange technologies, which would include submarines down the road, creating a lot of strategic challenge in a near peer competition. I thought that this was a really great opportunity. It's relatively small, is something we could focus in on. And the Navy has taken fairly significant money and is transferring it or under contract, providing it to Blue Forge Alliance, which is a nonprofit based in Texas with tasking to strengthen the Navy submarine industrial base supply chain. And that includes manufacturing capabilities as well as workforce. And so we came in under the workforce pillar, and Blue Forge has come to an agreement with us for a 14-month period of performance to place 100 of our candidates into the submarine industrial base. And that includes some ancillary activities like pulling veteran candidates out of buildsubmarines.com. You may have seen the We Build Giant commercials or the buildsubmarines.com race car if you follow NASCAR. And people that see that go to that website and register interest in working in the submarine industrial base. And so we are now able to access enlisted veterans that are interested, reach out to them and say, you are interested, want to work with Bob, we will put you through our process and get you an opportunity to either interview for a job in the submarine industrial base and or essentially a paid training certification pipeline. There's a partner called Accelerated Training and Defense Manufacturing, ATDM, in Danville, Virginia, which is also partially funded by the Navy submarine community to provide 5 4-month-long technical training tracks. And it includes things like welding and CNC machine operators, additive manufacturing, quality and metrology. And what it does is it's free for candidates to go through that training, but traditionally it hasn't included any stipend or paycheck while going through it. Same problem as getting out of service without a paycheck. You can't go be a student without a paycheck. And we were able to get a couple of employers that were interested in piloting a program to hire our candidates and then pay them a wage while going through the training pipeline. And so we're starting to put candidates now either directly into jobs in the submarine industrial base or through training tracks, ATDM, where they will get their training certification and a paycheck and have a guaranteed job to go work on components for submarines on the side. So that's a very exciting development for us. It allows us to hire some additional staff. We've actually identified our very first program manager, aerospace and defense program manager, who starts with us next Tuesday.
Okay.
And he will have responsibility to drive this program forward and build the relationships and the partnerships and ensure success of our submarine industrial base employers.
Now, submarine industrial day, am I?
Base. Base is the myriad of manufacturers out there.
Gotcha. I gotcha. Okay. All right. And you just touched on something that's important. Getting the word out, obviously, spreading the word through a podcast, the NASCAR series. How else do you all get the word out to the community? I'm curious.
Well, historically, I think it was a lot of word of mouth, social media marketing, and in-person events. Mm-hmm. We go, our employment coordinators, they're a jack of all trades, right? They have to recruit, they have to case manage, and they have to put on events to introduce candidates, whether virtually or in person, to employment opportunities. And they will go out to a base transition event and a table outside the event that has a next stop banner on it. And people come out and say, hey, what's next stop? And then this is what we do. And that's how we can help recruit. But as we've started to grow a little bit, we've recently brought on a communications firm out of New Orleans, Gamble Communications, and they are helping us with strategizing on how we can do more of this kind of engagement. For instance, I was on Newell Norman's radio show a couple of weeks ago for the second show. So we're looking for additional opportunities like this just to get the word out, whether it's around referral of our services, which are free for candidates that want to come through, or employers who are interested in hiring, like you talked about with your entrepreneurs.
I love it. I love it. How do people, before I ask how people can get in touch with you again and the call to action for yourself and the next ops, what is the guidance you would give to anybody besides going to your website? What's the guidance you give anybody coming out of the military so they can have a successful transition?
Start early. And there's a perception, I think, in this day and age, you never know who to trust on social media. And I remember I was at U.S. Special Ops Command when LinkedIn came. And the word on the street then was soft does not get on social media, right? There's too much personal information and too many potentially operational details that can be compromised. And so this belief that you shouldn't be on social media is prevalent out there in the military, and there's good reason for it. But the idea of networking and discovering opportunities and being in touch with people who can help you when the time comes is so critical. And if you're not doing it like it's a part-time job, when the time comes, you won't have the awareness. You won't have those relationships. So starting early is probably the absolute best anybody can do to set themselves up. And then be curious. Ask people, how'd you get here? What do you do? Mm-hmm. Because if you're 17, 18, 19 years old and you come into the military and you work real hard and deploy it, then suddenly it's over and you don't have a great awareness of all the great places that you could go. And that's, I think, the big difference for us is that we build trust with our candidates eyeball to eyeball, and then we evaluate who they are. We share what we learn and hear every day to try to give them a great opportunity.
Absolutely. Okay. What's the best place for people to find you?
The websites are best for sure, and that's .vets.org. But we also have social media presence on LinkedIn, Instagram, and Facebook. So anybody can find our page and follow us there. And we put out information about our social events, our hiring events, our community events. And it's a good thing for people to get info that way.
So nextops.org. Very good.
Or send us an email, info@nextops.org, and we'll respond to that too.
Awesome. Sir Shelby, I want to thank you. It's a pleasure to have you on the show, and I look forward to getting the word out to help some veterans in this process. But thank you.
I appreciate you having me, and I'll hit you up next time I'm coming to town. Maybe we can actually meet in person.
Yeah, I'd love to take you up on that. Absolutely. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks for having me and for what you're doing. And I hope that for all the entrepreneurs out there, if you, you know, haven't really taken a chance, so to speak, on hiring a veteran, that you give it some thought. We work with employers all the time that are interested to get the vet ready and hire him.
I love it. And veterans are just, There's a work ethic that comes with it that I see working with veterans. I love, there's something special working with veterans. It's the dedication and the commitment from service. And that's
awesome. Just, I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
I appreciate you having me, and you know, let me know what else I can do.
Thank you. And that is a wrap with Shelby. Folks, this is a space that's near and dear to my heart, working with veterans and helping veterans. And normally we're interviewing entrepreneurs and franchisors. I'm hoping those folks that are listening will see this as a resource to find people to hire. And for those that know someone who's a veteran, send them to nextopvets.org to set them on perhaps a new career path. And for veterans looking for a business opportunity, a franchise opportunity, check out the previous episode. I interview a CEO of a restoration franchise who is a veteran himself, and he started it with the mindset of serving veterans. He talks about why veterans thrive so well in a franchise system, and it's open to civilians as well. So all of this is coming together, all of our conversations, be it entrepreneurs or franchisers. We're building this community. We're here to support each other, whichever the right direction is for that person. That may be you. So I appreciate you being here, and you've been following this video the entire time as a thank you. And for those following me as a thank you, Your First Franchise Roadmap is coming out, as I mentioned. Check out yourfirstfranchise.com/roadmap. I'm going to send you a free copy of that book. If you'd like a paperback version, it's going to be on Amazon in a few weeks. And all the proceeds are going to go to benefit Make-A-Wish. But if to get a digital copy for free, check out yourfirstfranchise.com/roadmap. And make sure to like and subscribe and hit the bell on Apple. Please give us 5 stars. That's just how we're going to continue to grow. And the drill for those, especially for those who have gotten this far, the drill, be intentional and make today a great day. Bye-bye.